This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Monday, and I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for December 12th, episode 1831. Actually, it's December 11th, Glenn. You put in the wrong date. See,
it I just read December whatever 11th.
You write. You put in the wrong date. It says December 12th.
You're right. It does.
See, that's the problem is I read whatever's on here and I'm like, that doesn't sound right. This episode, though, is officially brought to you by Omega Alpha Equine. Good morning, Horse World.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. I wanted to start the show out today with something that I saw over the weekend that was put up a post on Facebook by MJ Redding Equine Transport, and I know you've all seen it. It's the photo of the mirror of the truck and trailer with all the trucks and trailers behind it waiting to go in to help rescue horses in Southern California. But it was what MJ Redding Equine Transport wrote that really hit home to me, and I think it says it all about why we do what we do, why Jamie and I are here every day, why we are all in this together in the horse world. And here is what they said, and I quote, "This is the horse world. The single image captures the very stitchwork that binds together a truly amazing community, a community of men and women who have come to accept and often appreciate the cliche crazy horse people. It is a world entirely comprised of individuals who willfully sacrifice family vacations, weekends, or even a single day off occasionally. There is a bond between horse and horseman that inherently sears a brand into who we are and how we live. 365 days a year, we put ourselves second to our horses, with routines dedicated to the well-being of our horses beginning well before the light of day and consistently ending well after nightfall. Individuals who carry no hesitation in their breath, whether it be sleepless nights to ensure a mare and foal is safe during labor at any hour of the day, or an entire day's plan is thrown aside the moment a horse is injured. Men and women who for 365 long days find themselves rushing breakfast, eating lunch from the seat of a tractor only to miss dinner, cancel Saturday night dates, and miss birthdays. The line of rigs caught in this mirror is a tiny portion of the surreal call to action of horse trailers and trucks, each carrying horsemen willing to run their rigs towards the wildfires only to risk their own lives both in the fires as well as handling the many horses they don't know, while they are stressed, anxious, and scared, making each horse exponentially more dangerous to handle. They do it anyway. They have been nonstop for days and are continuing to work nonstop to save as many horses as possible, to include the man credited for taking this photo as he waited in traffic heading to countless barns being evacuated. A close friend as well as a part-time driver for us, Wyatt Martin, spent the first part of the week in our own truck, only to spend what was supposed to be his day off, answering and making endless phone calls with barns to coordinate evacuations. Wyatt flew out of Logan International for a six-hour flight, cutting off his communication with stressed and scared barn owners and trainers. He landed at LAX at 1 a.m. Pacific time and without detour headed immediately to get his truck and to head to the horses that needed help. He, just like this image, is just a single piece of a community and perfectly exemplifies what this way of life is. These are horsemen, and this is the way of life we are proud to live. This is the horse world.
Coming to you live from Santa's workshop at the North Pole, everyone's favorite elves, Jamie Jumperbottom and Glenn Scooter Pops.
Oh, thank Thanks, Glenn, for posting that and recording that and doing such a great job with it. It is amazing to see just how amazing our horse world and our friends in it are. And what's going on is in California is unspeakable for horse and human. So it's nice to see people pulling together.
It really is.
Definitely. That's what the holidays are about. And the horse world is all about when you come down to it. When people need each other, they make it happen.
So, you know, and that's where all those lines of English and Western and disciplines and all of that just goes away, doesn't it?
It just becomes about the horse.
Right. Exactly. It just becomes about the horse. Yeah. Exactly. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later on in today's show, too. Jennifer, what is coming up?
Coming up on today's Omega Alpha Equine Monday edition, we are going to speak with Merwee Garzon, author and horse gal, about her proposed 12-step program for equestrian authors. No, we're going to talk about all the cool books she writes. And then after the break, Leslie Wiley is going to stop by and kick up the sarcasm level just a little bit for a Monday. And then to wrap things up, we're going to have a guest from Cantor, California, to give us a look at what's going on out there in the fire state from the boots on the ground level. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
I hear there's going to be a duet today, too. That's what I hear, between Leslie and Jamie. So we'll find out. We'll find out if that's going to happen later. Well, happy birthday to auditors Ellen and Susan. It was their birthdays, I think, over the weekend were both of them. So happy birthday to both of them. Ellen, of course, has been a big supporter of ours on many of the projects, including the Messengers movie, which, if you don't know, is now available on Amazon Prime. So you can watch it for free. If you're an Amazon Prime member, just look up the Messengers and you'll find it there. That's the one that the Horse Radio Network was featured in.
That's what you were featured in.
Well, you were in it, too. Your voice was in it.
I have two daily whinnies. One, it goes out to you, Glenn, for you checked the You Caring site that we made for Radiothon.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
To raise money for the foster kids. And we were $8 short of $3,000, and you posted, and now we're at $3,010. So
yay!
Thank you for doing that.
Over $3,000.
I've already mailed one check. I'm happy to mail another. Keep it coming. It's still open. And I have a second daily Winnie. Do you want to play the music again, or you may just go for it? Oh. That's the right one. Okay. So this past Friday, I was invited to a Christmas party. And not just any Christmas party. I was invited to the Ford Modeling Agency Christmas party at the W Hotel in Scottsdale.
Were you offered a new
Why?
Job?
Yeah. Hilarious. No. Because so my student, who I've been teaching since she was 8 years old and she rode the tiniest pony on the farm, is now like 6'9" and is 85 pounds and drop dead gorgeous. Abby, who I talk about here all the time, she's actually got signed to be a Ford model, which is crazy awesome. And she, of course, you know, she's got the best head on her shoulders and she's basically modeling so she can pay for her horse and get a farm someday. That's like her idea. It's like, I'll model now and I'll have my farm later. Genius. So she started modeling, but she's one of their fresh faces, new faces in the agency. And her mom, they had two tickets to this. Abby had two tickets. So she invited her mom and me. So okay, you guys know how I feel about leaving my neighborhood, much less going to Scottsdale.
Less putting on a dress.
Okay, we're getting to that. Oh. Then I had to get a dress and heels. And okay, how does one dress to go to Scottsdale at the W Hotel when you're going to be surrounded by freaking models? You know what? I could have gone naked. It wouldn't have mattered. Nobody looked at me, which is totally fine. I was the biggest fly on the wall, and her mom. Basically, when you're 5'2", and maybe you put some heels on and you're 5'4", and you walk into a place where the average height of the beautiful woman is 6 feet, okay? Like, you don't matter, which was, again, totally fine, because It was the craziest people watching I have ever done. Bless her heart. Abby's so down to earth, and she did find some girls that she knew, and she was actually going to, they had a Fresh Faces runway show. So she was in the runway show, which was amazing to see this meek, quiet horse girl get up on stage and, like, you know, doing the model turn and the model twist and show. I don't know. So anyway, so I go to this thing, and it's the W Hotel, which apparently is very swanky. And then you throw it on top of Scottsdale, which they call the, you know, LA.
Sorry about that. I was just watching your video. It came up. Sorry.
Facebook said they deleted it because it had illegal music in it.
Oh.
So she's on stage, like, strutting her stuff. Yeah. And the W Hotel in Scottsdale, I start looking, Kristen and I start looking at the drink menu just for fun. Just like, let's see what's on the drink menu. And I'm gonna pull up the pictures right now, because I had to take pictures of the menu to send them to Chad. So if you wanted a six pack of beer, which, by the way, is like Bud, Miller, things like that, a six pack of beer, mix and match, you don't get to pick, was $42.
Whoa!
A six pack of beer.
Which you can buy in the local convenience store for about $6. Yeah.
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 12 pack of beer, $84. And to round it out, if you were sitting, and this is by the pool, so if you were sitting by the pool and you're like, I'm going to get me and my friends a case of beer, that's $168. Now, what if you were sitting around the pool, you're like, gosh, you know, cognac. I really want a little cognac. For the cheapest one they had, which is Hennessy, which is like $12 a bottle, $425.
What?
For the bottle.
For the bottle?
Yeah. For the bottle. And then you could step it all the way up to, there's like different Cavassiers and Hennessys. If you really wanted to get fancy, you could have a Louis the 13th de Remy Martin for $7,000. That's a bottle of cognac for $7,000. Then we move to the champagnes.
No. How much is Oste Spumante? That's a $12 bottle of Oste Spumante.
They don't even sell
it.
No,
I'm sure they don't.
The Moet and Chandon. I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce champagne because I don't drink it, because it's just crazy. The Leopard Luxury Edition of the Moet Chandon Imperial Rose is $10,000. That's the cheapest. That's right. Yeah, I'll have a bottle of champagne. I'll get the cheapest one at $10,000. And then you're like, you can't order the cheapest one because then you just look cheap. So you got to, like, at least go up to the second tier.
Do you know how many glasses of champagne are actually in a bottle? About six.
Four.
Yeah,
four,
exactly. Because the bottles, I swear they're making them thicker now. So there's less actual liquid in it.
Okay. For the, because you can't buy the cheapest because then you just look cheap. So then that you have to step it up to the Brut, which is the $17,500. The Moet Leopard Luxury Edition Nectar Imperial Rose is $20,000. Oh, that's only 6 liters, though. It's only like a half bottle. Then you've got the Dom, $22,000. And then there is the Armand.
Wait a minute. They're charging $22,000 for Dom Perignon?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like $200 in the store.
It's like, yeah, that's $22,500.
I'm sure it's now, a different blend or something.
Bottle. Yeah, the Armand de Brignac Brut Gold Ace of Spades, which I did find out the company, because then I got home and I had to do some research. The company is owned by Jay-Z.
Oh, there you go.
He bought this champagne company. I think it's Jay-Z. Yeah. And so this bottle, I could not find one online for like any more than $200, $300. Okay. $200, $300. If you wanted to buy it sitting next to the pool at the W Hotel in Scottsdale, and you're like, I'll have the Brut Gold Ace of Spades, please. That's $100,000.
And you were finding them for $200 to $300 online?
$100,000 for a bottle of champagne. I did find like some Uber collector's edition for $15,000, but that's not what they're selling.
Does it come with a house? Do you get a house with it?
What idiot? I mean, you could buy a home. You could buy a Lamborghini. I think they'd rather have a Lamborghini.
We could buy two Ford F-250s.
There's an unlimited amount of things you can do with $100,000 instead of buy champagne. And so I was like, I'm going to ask the waitress when she comes over if anybody has ever bought this. Okay. Yeah, mind you, I'm sitting by a pool surrounded by 6-foot models. Okay. There's models everywhere. And then there's like me as a normal short person. And even Abby's mom is tall. So I'm like, I'm staring at people's boobs. That's the only thing I see. So the employee for the W comes over, the waitress, and she's like, guys, a bottle, get you anything started? Because like a bottle of Grey Goose was like $8,000 as well. So she looks at me as I'm standing there, and she's tall too. And the women in the W that work there, do you know what they dress? Now, mind you, we're outside. There's heaters, but we're outside and it's like, you know, 45 degrees and there's heaters. We're outside. I'm standing talking to this woman, and I'm about to snarkily ask her if anybody's ever bought a $100,000 bottle of champagne in the history of being here. And then I look up and I go to ask her this question, and I realize I'm staring at her chest. And do you know what the employees wear? Bras.
What?
That's it. That's what they wear, Glenn.
There was nothing else? I mean, she had to have something else on.
Bra.
Nothing over the bra?
Bra. Nothing over the bra, a black push-up bra, and stretch pants. Stretch shorts, by the way. Sorry, the little, like, tiny shorts. That's it. That's what they wear.
Did you lose your train of thought?
I was like, I'm sorry. I don't think we need anything. Thanks. Have a good day. Bye-bye. I was like, why? I can't talk to you. You're wearing a bra. And your boobs are eye level to me. So it became super uncomfortable. I was unable to ask if anybody had ever ordered it, and I moved on.
And so you got like, thirsty, you know, and hungry that day, I'm assuming.
Can I tell you what the food table is like at a modeling agency party?
Does it have some kale and then some more kale and then some more kale?
So it pretty close. It was like there was vegetables and hummus and a cheese plate, and nobody ate any of the cheese plate, but like some celery was taken. And so Kristen and I go through the food table, and the plates are like, you know, the size of a quarter. So we're stacking celery sticks on top of each other, basically holding them in the palm of our hand as we go back to where we sit down. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, I'm still hungry, Dad. I need to go. And by the way, there's no line at the food table.
Big surprise.
No line. Whatsoever. And I had, when I was over there, because I was stacking celery sticks, like I had knocked one off the side and it was kind of laying across, like all the celery sticks were north, south, and like one went east, west because I did it. And 20 minutes later, I go back over there, still the same. Nothing moved. Nobody ate anything. 20 minutes in, again, it's like 8 p.m., like dinner time. Nobody has eaten anything. Kristen and I realize we're the only people eating in the entire place. Like the only people that are consuming any food whatsoever. And so we realized that the line to the bar, you couldn't get a drink. But by God, you could certainly get some food. So we ate really well. We had more celery and hummus than we cared to.
Well, that's good. You like celery and hummus. It would have been bad if it was all like beef and, you know, stuff.
There was no meat on the table.
I bet
they did have a flatbread. And I was like, what's on that flatbread? She's like, that's lettuce and tomato on flatbread.
They made themselves a BLT without the B. It was an LT.
Lettuce and tomato on flatbread, celery and hummus. And a cheese plate that nobody touched.
So you're saying I would have starved. I would have been going out for
Well, we were starving. These poor people
you
are so
You could have
been hungry.
Fine, one. You could have eaten the entire cheese plate.
I could have eaten the whole cheese plate myself. That's
you're
right.
Like, excuse me. Pardon me. Yeah, I got a plate. I'm good. Yeah.
No fruit. Like nothing. Dessert. Please tell me there was chocolate cake for dessert with ice cream.
There was no dessert. There's a Christmas party. There's not a piece of fruit or dessert to be found. Celery. That's it.
And I assume that you were shopping for ball gowns while they were up there modeling their party dresses. You were just taking notes on which ones you wanted for Christmas?
Oh, like, you know what? I really like the one with the exposed midriff. Because if I'm going to expose a part of my body, it's going to be below my boobs and above my belly button. Like, that's that's really what I want to sell. Is kind of like above
I'm looking at the pictures, though. The they looked really good with the exposed midriffs. Just saying. I'm just...
That's because they're 7 foot tall and they weigh 47 pounds.
They're 7 foot tall. You looked beautiful in your dress, though, I'm going to say.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
You did.
In the closet. And don't judge me, but I had to go out again on Saturday night for a Air Force Christmas party, and I wore the same thing.
Same dress. Of course. Because that
same thing.
If you didn't, you had to buy two. So
exactly.
I got to ask you for the Air Force Christmas party, and those that don't know, they can probably take a peek at your page. The guy with the cowboy hat, who was that?
Oh, he's a realtor. He's not a. He's okay.
I was going to say, is he in the Air Force? Because he had the full beard and the cowboy hat and the whole.
No, he's definitely not in the Air Force. Okay. But he's a big supporter of the military. Him and his wife. So they go to everything in the squadron because they're just super, super nice people. They get invited.
Okay.
Yeah.
He looked like a
character. I didn't know that he posted something on my page. I'll have to go look. Look at Facebook. Oh boy.
Well, now we decided after Friday's show that we're gonna move a segment we do, right?
Well, it's Friday is too popular. We need to spread the love and the downloads around a little bit because Friday is our most downloaded show, and now it's doubly downloaded and it's doubly funny, and it's almost like it's too much for me because we have to do equestrian first world problems followed up with really bad ads.
I got to tell you, it was too much for me on Friday. My ribs hurt after Friday's show. It was like,
yeah. Yeah, no, it's not. It's just too much. Too much. So.
Too much fun in one show. We can't have it.
No, it's not fair to Mondays. It's just not fair. So what we decided to do was move that to now.
Yeah. Really bad ads stays on Fridays, but question for first world problems goes to today.
So. First world problem. Let me start out by saying if you have an equestrian problem, it is a first world problem. These are sort of edited to make them fit. Not all of them. And these are submitted by our auditors. So if you have a first world problem and you're not an auditor, first of all, what are you doing? Second of all, just email it to me, jamie@horseradionetwork.com. First off, some of these are from last Friday because I couldn't get to them all. Joy says, my water froze in the barn, so I had to beg Matt to fill and carry down 2 5-gallon jugs of water from the house twice because I was too busy pulling hay out of my horse's forelock because I didn't want her to get a piece in her eye. Rebecca says, my husband is gone for 2 weeks working, so I have to plan for and clean and prep for annual Christmas party by myself while preventing our children from killing each other. I bought a brand new saddle 3 weeks ago, but I've only gotten to ride in it once because my mare is in training and I've been using the trainer's saddle.
God.
She's sitting on that thing on the back of the couch.
I know she is. Yes, I was thinking that too. Yeah. She'll saw horse out in the barn.
Yep. Lindsay says, I want to listen to horses in the morning, but I'm on my honeymoon and my husband wants to actually talk to me.
Do you know where they're at? I found out over the weekend.
Where?
She sent me a note from New Zealand.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Lindsay, I got news for you. We'll be here when you get back, and go enjoy New Zealand and talk to your new husband. Just saying.
Mary says, someone stole 2 wheel covers off my Denali 3/4-ton pickup truck while I was riding beautiful snowy trails on a sunshiny day in Wyoming yesterday on my best horse ever, Dutch.
Wonder why they took 2 and not 4. Did you think that?
I was kind of stuck on the riding in snowy trails in Wyoming.
And here I am going, why did they steal 4 of them? I don't know.
I'm like, oh, like, that part does suck, actually. Rachel says, I have no idea how to talk to normal people. I only know how to talk to horse people. Why are normal people so boring? I get you. You know who else is not entertaining besides Abby at a modeling convention? Everybody else!
Oh, you didn't. I was going to ask you if you had any long conversations with anybody.
I was just eating.
Your mouth is full. Couldn't talk.
My mouth is full. I had to eat at least 400 pieces of celery to fill up for dinner. Kathy says, do I ride with the English saddle or the Western saddle? Maybe I should consult with my trainer. You ride both and you have a trainer. Oh, God. Yeah. Poor thing. Chantel says, I had a nightmare last night that mice ate the fleece off the bottom of my custom Western saddle. And now I have to bring it home for the winter because I'm like totally afraid it's going to happen for real.
In our house, Kayla, that would happen, actually, at our barn. Kayla, if it wasn't that, the squirrels would eat it.
we have that, actually, coming up. Kayla says, no matter how warm the blankets, the barn, and the beet mash are, I cannot possibly keep my ponies as comfy and cozy as I want them to be. Why can't they just live inside my house?
Okay, everybody, you do realize they lived outside for a long time without any help at all. Just saying.
Glenn, horses have been domesticated for like 6,000 years. They need us.
They have a fur coat.
Okay. They need us.
Fur coat.
Andrea says, I had to use my flex and fork to shovel a foot of snow that had melted from under the running shed. And my wheelbarrow went flying into parts when I dumped it yesterday morning. Ugh!
Two things. Obviously, the flex and fork can shovel snow, so we need to add that to the commercials. So we need to add that. Second thing is you really have to tighten the nuts on the wheelbarrow. You know, the little bolty things that have little nuts on them? You got to check them every once in a while or your wheelbarrow's going to fly apart when you go to use it. Just saying.
You know what? They just need to make a wheelbarrow that doesn't have those.
Doesn't have nuts.
Like a one-piece wheelbarrow.
A solid wheelbarrow.
They've got to do some sort of like, you know what? Speaking of flex and fork, the guy to do that is Joseph. Joseph, I need a one-piece wheelbarrow made out of carbon fiber.
That weighs about 1 pound a total.
Yeah, obvious.
Yeah.
Okay. Kimberly says, I was off work last week to ride my horse in a clinic, so I didn't have my commute, and now I'm way behind on HRN shows.
Well, now that's not forgivable. That is a first world problem.
Sorry,
so
I was riding in the clinic and I didn't have my commute. Give me a break.
Yeah, I'm not forgiving that one. You slap your
Rebecca says. Rebecca says, I just bought the Google Pixel phone and I'm waiting for the glass protector and the case to arrive before I use it because I'm on level 750 of a game called Two Dots. And when I switch over from my old phone, if I don't sync it, I'll lose my score. God. I had a first world problem, and that's I had to get dressed up this past weekend twice to go to two different parties, dresses and heels, two nights in a row. Ugh.
That sounds like, did you write that first one, by the way?
Yeah, that was me. And then finally, I think Marissa is the winner today because she says, I want to get my dog the new horsewear Newmarket leash from Horse Lovers, but they only have it in sunflower, and my Newmarket fleece cooler quarter sheet and dog coats are all in navy stripes. I can't have the leash not match. You can't, Marissa. Hold out.
Hold out. You'll find it somewhere. All right, let's hear from Omega Alpha, and we'll get to our first guest. And thank you all for your first world problems. Oops. I didn't mean to do that. Let's try it again.
Omega Alpha specializes in natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance, and they know how much personality and behavior can factor in the quality of our relationship. Whether we're an Olympic-level competitor or modest weekend warrior. That's why they've created three different all-natural formulas to help us get the most out of our horse-to-human relationship. Chill Liquid, formulated especially for horses with pre-performance jitters. Chill Ultra Paste, with the added benefits of B1 and magnesium. And Premare, the hormone balancer for witchy mares, and you know who you are. Look for all of Omega Alpha's all-natural formulas at your local tack and feed supplier, or you can visit them online at omegaalphaequine.com.
course, you can find Omega Alpha Equine on Facebook as well. Just search for Omega Alpha Equine, and they're always posting good stuff, and they let you know about their seminars and their webinars that they have. They let you know about those on their Facebook page as well. Well, we have our first guest coming up today. Her name is Marie Garzon, and she is a listener of ours, which we like. And also, we like to highlight our listeners that do fun things. We've been kind of doing that over the last week, actually, with things that our listeners make. But this particular listener writes equestrian novels. Good morning, Marie. How are you?
Good morning. I'm cold, thanks.
Yeah,
how are you?
Where are you at, by the way?
I live in Quebec, Canada.
Oh, wow. You are chilly.
And we're getting our first big snowstorm. Yes.
Oh. Are you on a speakerphone, by the way?
No, I am not.
Okay, good. All right, just checking. So now you're an author. You've been doing this for quite some time, right?
Yes, it's been 6 years now. Wow, I can't believe it's been that long. Just thinking about it.
And you do a series of books. So tell us a couple series of books, actually. So tell us a little bit about the books.
Well, the first series is called Blaze of Glory. And it was originally just supposed to be one book. But, you know, as an author, we kind of, people think authors write, sit down and plan and write stories, but really in my case, I have a very relentless and demanding muse, and she kind of makes me write things. So after the first book, she just didn't stop, went on, made me write two more in the same series. And then came a spin-off book and a prequel. And so, yeah, now there are five books in that series.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that because Lisa Wysocki is a regular contributor. She co-hosts the show a lot. And she says the same thing about her muse. She says the same thing. She's like, oh, I was going to do one, and then she kept talking to me. So it's kind of the same process. Now, I thought in your case, maybe it was so cold you had nothing else to do for 8 months of the year. And maybe it had a lot of time for her to talk to you.
Well, there is that, because it was minus 11 Celsius this morning, which I think is like minus a kajillion Fahrenheit, approximately. So, yeah, you don't want to go outside in this weather.
So what the Blaze of Glory series, is it what kind of books are they?
Well, it is set mostly in the hunter-jumper world, although my main character, who is 17 at the beginning of the series, is a risk-taking type. So she goes to the track and tries galloping thoroughbreds for a while, and then she falls in love with, you know, the most inappropriate person imaginable, a professional polo player. So there's a fair amount of polo in the book as well.
I love the one,
because I got to research that.
Horse Junkies United said, I love their description, they said, think Twilight crossed with Horse Whisperer with a splash of Harlequin romance thrown in. Kind of like that description.
Yes, I like that too.
Now, are there murders?
No, I can't say that I've killed anyone off. There is a death, but it's not a murder.
Okay.
It's an accidental death.
Okay, so I just wanted to clarify.
Angry readers.
So now, what inspired you to do your first one? I love to ask authors that. What inspired you? Why did you say I need to write a book? Because I think everybody at some point in their life says I need to write a book, and most of us go, yeah, but that ain't going to happen, and we just move on.
I think everyone should try writing a book. I think everyone has at least one story in them. And I was one of those people who always kind of thought, you know, one day, maybe later in the future, I'll write a memoir or something. But then I was at a crossroads in my life. I had given up a consulting job. I was home with, you know, two little children. And I kept thinking, what could I do? What could I do? And one morning I just woke up and there it was, this story just burning to get out. I literally could not say no to it. I had to write in during every nap time, after the kids went to bed, which, you know, if you've ever been the parent of young children, is a bad, bad idea. Don't stay up till 3 a.m. writing. You will regret it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're a single parent, too, did I read?
Yes, I am.
I have a horse-crazy kid, too, so that doesn't help.
Yes. That really does not help. I do support 2 children and a dog, a bunny, and now 1 rat. And my children would really, really like to add some ponies to the mix. But, you know, as a single parent, I'm kind of thinking if I add a pony to the mix, I know that pony's going to be with us till the day he or she dies, and that's a big commitment.
I'm kind of stuck on the rat, actually. So was the rat a voluntary one or involuntary pet? Just curious.
She was a voluntary
pet. Okay, good.
Pet.
Just checking.
A fellow mom had gotten a yes. We're not being invaded by rats.
Okay, good. Just wondering.
He's like, look, Mom, look what I caught.
Yeah, look, here it is. I'm taking it home.
Look what I caught. I found its tail. I grabbed it. I pulled it out. We have a rat now.
That's right.
I kind of pictured that.
Actually. I know someone who did that. Yeah. I know someone who did that with a barn mouse. The barn cat caught a mouse and, you know, she took it out of its mouth and she kept it.
Not something I'd put first on the list of pets I really wanted at any point, but yeah, more power to her. What's now? What did you ride? You rode for a long time. I know that because you were commiserating with me about my broken ribs, and actually, you've broken so few things too. So, what kind of riding did you do?
Well, I rode hunters and jumpers for most of my riding career. Although I also did a bit of eventing because, you know, why not? It's so fun. But honestly, I think I'm one of those people who has been infected with the horse bug, you know, since birth. So I don't think the type of riding I do would matter that much to me. It's really just being with the horses that's the most important.
Yeah. Well, and you then, I noticed you did the Pony Club series, and this is really for kids 8 to 12. Tell us about that.
Yes, that came about because, well, I'm still not sure how I got talked into it, actually. It came about because my son wanted to be on the cover of a book. And it was one of those moments of weakness when, you know, the dog is barking and the kids are crying and dinner is late and they won't stop arguing. And I was just like, okay, fine, I'll write one. You can be on it, okay? Just to get a moment of peace. And it sounds terrible and uninspired and probably like very bad parenting. But that's how the first book came about. And then when I realized he was serious and he didn't give up on the idea and he kept asking, I said, well, if you guys want a book for kids, then you have to help me write it. So we did. We all sat down together and came up with a story, and they contributed a lot of ideas.
How cool is that?
Awesome Possum was born.
That's really cool. And then it led to, and then you, they got the last laugh because it ended up in a series, right?
Yes. Well, we have 2 books out now and we have a 3rd book outlined. And interestingly, now when we started, they were 7 and 9, and now they are 11 and 13. So now they're starting to feel like these books are for babies. You know, they're starting to feel a little too cool for the Pony Club books, but we have to keep writing them at the same level, of course. They're fun, though. They're interesting, and it's nice to see what kinds of ideas the kids come up with.
Now, I always said if I had to do it over again as a teenager, as a boy, I would join Pony Club. Has your son joined Pony Club?
He has not. Well, he did for a year. He did for a year, and it was really fun at our local barn. We, you know, came up with lots of activities for them that weren't necessarily like riding activities. But he doesn't do it anymore because now he's really into baseball and basketball.
Hmm.
He still likes ponies a lot on the ground, though, and he keeps asking me to get him a miniature horse because he wants to do trick training with a miniature and also convince our dog to coexist peacefully with it in the house. You can imagine that is not happening.
With very large diapers. So where can people find the books? Where can they where can they buy them for the holidays?
Oh, well, they're on Amazon, and I believe at Barnes & Noble. They're in most places that you can buy books online. They're also in a few tack shops, but I don't know where.
Okay.
Kind of hit or miss if you go into a tack shop, I think.
All right, cool. Well, let's put a link to, we'll put a link to your books on Amazon on our Facebook page and also in our show notes. Jennifer will take care of that. And thank you also for being a listener. And thank you for, you know, adding to people's enjoyment in the horse world. That's what it's all about.
It sure is. And thanks very much for talking to me. And I hope your ribs feel better.
Yeah, they're getting a little better. Jennifer or Jamie's trying not to make me laugh too hard. So that helps. That helps a lot.
It's easy.
Very considerate.
Yeah.
That's easy.
Yeah, she takes that seriously. Well, Mary Garzon is spelled G-A-R-Z-O-N. Your website also is just mgarzon.ca. mgarzon.ca for Canada. So you'll find that all the books are listed there and links to them, and as well as a lot of other good stuff. So check that out. We appreciate you being on.
Stay warm.
Merry Christmas.
My gosh, stay warm.
Thank you.
All right, get the shovel out.
I will. All right.
Bye.
Bye.
You know, over the weekend, a ton of people got snow, all except for us, you and I. Everybody else got snow, it seemed like, over the weekend.
I know my brother sent me a picture of the backyard just covered in snow. And I, you know, growing up in Atlanta, I don't remember, I think one time I remember snow before Christmas. But one time in 30 plus years of living there.
Yeah,
so,
even in Pennsylvania, we didn't get a lot of snow before Christmas. It was usually January, February, March when the big storms came.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But I saw the pictures of Georgia covered in snow. It was pretty, actually. It's very pretty.
Yeah.
As long as you weren't driving in it.
I was going to say, it kind of covers up all the, you know.
Dirt.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll help you out here.
Snow makes everything look better.
All right, let's take a break for a song. We have Christmas for Cowboys by Bren Hill. And then we're coming back. We have more fun. Leslie's coming up yet. And we also have somebody coming on from California to talk a little bit about more of what it's like on the ground there with all of the fires. We'll be right back.
Tall in the saddle, we spend Christmas Day driving cattle over snow-covered plains. All of the good gifts are given today. Ours is the sky and wide open plains. Campfire for warmth, we stop for the night. Stars overhead, our Christmas tree lights. The wind sings a hymn as we bow down to pray. Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains. Back in the city, they have different ways. Football and eggnog and Christmas parades. I'll take the blanket, I'll take the reins. Christmas for cowboys and wide open plains. Christmas Day, driving cattle over snow-covered plains. All of the good gifts are given today. Ours is the sky and the wide open.
Well, that was Bren Hill. You can find all his music at brenhill.com. That was Christmas for Cowboys. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I'm Glenn the Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jen is in the producer chair. We're going to have Leslie Wiley coming up here to talk a little bit about the wacky world of horses from Horse Nation. But in the meantime, I saw this article I wanted to ask you about. I want to ask your feelings on this. We didn't talk about it before the show. Sorry about that. But there was an article on the horse. So there's this article on the horse. It's titled Colt or Filly, Breeders Soon Might Be Able to Choose. And it's this whole detailed article about... Hold on. It's this whole detailed article about these guys, these doctors from Chile, who have figured, and I'm not going to go into the science because, to be honest, I don't understand any of it, none of it. But basically what it comes down to is they can take the sperm, they can separate everything out, and they can get the X and the Y's all separated out. And at some point here in the future, they're saying that you're going to be able to pick through artificial insemination. I mean, it's not going to happen the real way. But through artificial insemination, you're going to be able to pick a boy or a girl. So now they're saying that they got a certain level of proficiency at this point, and they're working on the rest. So now the question is that a good idea? Let's start with the racing world. Everybody wants little book colts, right? So are they all going to pick little boys? Are there going to be any? Are the ratio to boys to girls going to be too high? You know, what do you think?
That's not true. I know a lot of people in the racing world would prefer mares because they can breed them, you know.
Yeah, but they only get one a year. Whereas you got a stallion,
yes,
you get 100
a year. Yes, but
to be a
stallion, you've got to be pretty spectacular. So a lot
anything.
Of,
yeah.
I Zenyatta's breeders, all they want, the Zenyatta's owners, all they want is her to have a filly.
Oh, really? Because
oh, yeah.
of that? Yeah, to pass on the lines too.
They just want a filly.
Yeah.
Just filly. So a lot of thoroughbred people. So I think it would be more even. I don't think everybody would do it anyway. I want a colt so bad I can't stand it.
So you're signing up this would probably run you about $150,000, by the way, to start.
Can I pick the color?
They had achieved 27 pregnancies aimed at producing fillies. That's what they were trying to produce with this study. The fertility rates were about 81% to 75%, but they did talk about the whole thing in there about color and things. Apparently, those are other genes that they have to pull out in the extraction process. So they're indicating that at someday they might be able to. Now, you might get a bay, you might get a chestnut. I don't think you're going to be able to say, I really want a chestnut with four white socks and a straight blaze down his nose. I don't think you're going to get to that point.
I'll keep it simple. Don't be ridiculous, Glenn. You can't pick out everything, but black colt would be okay. I mean, I'm not going to be like, I'm sorry, that stocking doesn't go high enough. It's more like a sock and not a stocking. Like, I mean, that's ridiculous. Who would say that? Just a black colt.
Now, Misty Sang, and this article was from yesterday that I saw in The Horse, but Misty, one of our listeners is listening right now. She actually is super smart. And she said, we've had that technology for years. I have a flow centimeter, something like that, the machine that can do this on my floor now. Of course, she says that, you know, Jockey Club would never allow it because it's live cover. But yeah, but I can see the quarter horse people and a whole bunch of other people getting into this, right?
Yeah, I could see that. I probably, I don't know what people would love. You know, just depends on what riding and breeding and all of that goes for. But, I mean, speaking from experience, you know, if I'll spend $100,000 on a bottle of champagne, $150,000 on the picking the gender of my future horse baby is going to be no problem.
There you go. You'll be good to go.
Like, do I get the champagne or do I pick a colt?
Yeah, and what's the guarantee? So if I don't get it, do I get to retry? You know, if I get the wrong one, do I get to retry next year?
Or are they going to give me champagne? I mean,
there you go.
What's going to happen here? $100,000
bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
There was another funny story, and then I want to talk about the elf thing. We have a little bit of time. If you can pull that up, I know that was on the Auditor Facebook page, because we do it every year, and it's just kind of funny. But there was this story out of Chesapeake, Maryland, and I've been to Chesapeake, Maryland. I don't know if you have, but they're having a big argument right now in the Chesapeake City Council about animals.
And basically, the tricky question was, how many chickens, cows, or goats equate to a horse? Because apparently in Chesapeake, they said that you're allowed to have a horse. It was agriculture. If you're under 10 acres, you were allowed to have a horse. But then people with chickens started to get into trouble because they had chickens and they didn't have a horse. So then the chicken people started to complain that if they can have horses, why can't we have chickens? And then the goat people started to come in. Now, there was a lady with 50 chickens on her small property, and apparently they were deeming that too many chickens. So there was all this argument in city council. Can you imagine watching this? I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall or sitting in a seat watching this argument go all night about how many chickens equate to a horse and where goats come in. So what they said is they're now thinking that 30 chickens equals a horse. But they're saying they realize that a horse puts out a heck of a lot more manure than 30 chickens, but with noise level and, you know, CO2 and all of that, they're pretty much settling now that 30 chickens equals a horse. I would have loved to sit in on this whole conversation and see who was laughing their ass off in the audience.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I don't think 30 chickens comes close to being one horse, but.
And
you know,
by
what?
The way, the
like
ordinance said
chickens.
They could have 4 horses on an acre. And they're complaining about 30 chickens?
The ordinance in my neighborhood is 9 horses per acre.
Oh my God, it really is?
9 horses per acre. 3.
Wow, that's a lot of poop in an acre.
Yeah, 9 horses per acre. Let's see here. 3 unlimited poultry. There is no
limit.
You could
have a chicken coop on your farm. Your acre.
Yeah, your whole place can be a coop. Unlimited poultry, 9 horses per acre, but only 3 dogs an acre.
Oh, wow. Is it barking, maybe?
So I
annoyance? I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of okay
dogs.
With that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a green light to get 5 more dogs.
I think that's trying to solve the puppy mill problem is what that why the dogs were 3.
Yeah, probably. And then the other thing is no pigs.
Oh, really?
You're not allowed to have a pig unless your neighbor on the right, your right and left says it's okay. Isn't that weird? Do you have to get written permission from your neighbors to have a pig?
I know. No.
So.
That's funny.
This is all conversations people have,
I know,
apparently.
I guess.
We had to find this document when we moved in. And my neighbor 2 doors down has like, she has lives on a 2-acre place and she's got like 8 dogs. And so because the neighbor in between us doesn't like either one of us, she only lets like 3 dogs out at a time. Because she's afraid of getting reported by the jerk neighbors. And they're little dogs. They don't make a lot of noise. I don't care.
And I have to issue an apology already for the show this morning. When I said a happy birthday to Ellen this morning, I forgot to call her Dr. Ellen because she is a doctor.
Oh.
And Dr. Ellen, we all know her as Dr. Ellen. I don't know why I didn't say Dr. Ellen. It's early on Monday. I have broken ribs. How long can I use the broken ribs excuse, by the
way? Did that just pop into your head?
No,
and you forgot
Dr.
That?
Ellen reminded me. So,
okay.
Sorry, Dr. Ellen. how long can I use the pain of ribs excuse, by the way? Do I get another couple of weeks?
How long has it been?
It's only been 2 weeks. So can I have 2 more?
Okay, then you're done.
I'm done?
I said 2 weeks. 2 weeks and you're fine. Like, you can't pick up stuff, but like, you don't get to complain. It doesn't mean your scattered brain counts.
Oh, okay. Well, then I have no excuse. Sorry, Dr. Ellen. Do you see the what's your horse's elf name graphic is going around? And this seems to be a different one from last year because I thought Scooter's name was different last year. But I thought it would be fun to talk about what our names are. I can start with Scooter.
Okay.
So now, Jennifer, if you could repost this graphic on our Horses in the Morning page. And basically, you pick the first letter of your horse's name and it gives you the first name of your elf name. And then you pick your horse breed, which I had to get really... You know, I had to go with other because Hackney's not on the list. And then horse's color. So what I came up with, when you combine all 3 for Scooter, who is a little Hackney, it's Mary Sugar McJingles. Mary Sugar McJingles.
Your horse's elf name is Mary Sugar McJingles.
Yes.
My horse's elf name, if we're playing with Zeus, because he's my main man, He is yummy candy twinkle toes.
Kind of fits, actually. And Jennifer, what's Nigel's? Now, Nigel's a thoroughbred. Oh.
So Nigel is going to be, let's see here, jolly, giggles, jolly, giggles, twinkle toes, which is so hilarious because none of those three words fit him,
no,
even a tiny little bit.
No, none of those
fit. Absolute antithesis of that horse.
Name your horse what you want it to be, not what it is, okay?
That's right.
So what about Thor? Everybody's probably wondering about Thor. And then the baby.
Okay, so Thor would be...
Tootsie.
Tootsie Candy McJingles.
Thor would so hate that name.
He is actually, he's going to kick me just for saying that on the air. Like, how dare you?
Tootsie, are you kidding? He'd kick you just for the first name.
Tootsie Candy McJingles. And the other, let's see. Yummy Sugar.
Which one is this? Which one is this for?
Zara would be. Okay. Yummy Sugar Twinkle Toes.
Yummy Sugar. Oh, that kind of fits, though, doesn't it?
Yummy Sugar Twinkle Toes. And she and Magic, the little black pony, are out, turned out together, and they are best friends.
Are they getting along now?
They gallop and play. Oh, my gosh. It's so cute. So I guess Magic, Precious Magic Gallop Jennings, do we go with the P or the M?
Well,
let's go
with
the Precious Magic. Precious yeah. Magic Gallop Jennings. Her name is, oh, there's no breed. This,
no, for Mutt.
Let's go. Should we Mustang or other?
Well, is well, she's part Mustang, right? So we'll go with that.
Okay. So her name would be Mary Candy Sugar Bells.
I can see the stall nameplates now. You need new stall nameplates.
Yep. Yes, absolutely.
Bring them out at Christmas.
Oh my gosh, I could keep going. Like Chili and Duke. You guys, I have way too many freaking horses. Oh my God, I need help.
Yeah, you have a few. You have a few. Oh, that's funny. Well, good job. Good job with that. Well, thank you to whoever posted this and reminded us of this year. It's always fun to do. There were some really fun names from the auditors, too, that they had Frosty Wacky Twinkle Toes, which I thought was pretty good, and Tootsie Sugar Sweet Cheeks.
Tootsie Sugar Sweet Cheeks.
Or Yummy Figgy Sweet Cakes. Say that fast. That was a good one. I know. Lollipop Chili Days. There was the you
hey,
can
speaking,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just looking for some others. Go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm just going to give you an update on Thor with the whole shaking thing.
Yeah, what was that?
So he's head shaking like crazy. I talked about it. He just all of a sudden started shaking his head, like up and down, shaking just like as like a twitch. And I called the vet out. And he started head shaking on a Sunday. And then the vet comes Tuesday morning and he's not doing it anymore.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. And as of Friday night, Friday morning, he started head shaking again.
Oh, really?
And he's been doing it constantly. Huh. So I am currently implementing some of the strategies that our listeners gave us. And he is like rubbing his nose on the ground. And so it does seem like that there's like a nerve that, you know, it's like, I kind of think of like restless leg, but there's like a nerve firing and it seems to be in his nose. It's affecting his nose because he had rubbed his nose on the ground so much and then he got a nosebleed. So he's had a nosebleed, his head shaking like crazy. I know. And so I'm reading articles and I know I feel so terrible for him. So currently I've ordered him a nose net for when he is being ridden, and actually riding is supposed to help. And another thing was he's now in a fly mask from ear to the tip of his nose, too. And these things are supposed to help. It's not even sunny here. So I don't know why. It's supposed to be kind of more sun activated and it's been cloudy. and not hot, and it's supposed to start in the spring. So maybe it's an allergy. I don't know what it is, but we're going to start with this and just work around it, because you can do MRIs and blocks and a million. I can take them to the hospital and spend $1 million, and they'd probably suggest starting with these things. So we're going to start with the nose net and the fly mask, and give that 2 weeks. And I have a listener on the line who's went through this exact same thing. So she's helping me out, and I love our listeners just volunteering to help with any issues out there. So of course, people.
Theoretically, it should save you vet bills, but in your case, nah, not so much.
No. I called the vet out and he was like, "Oh crap, the vet's here. He's such a Mustang. Show no pain. Show no weakness."
Well, because if you show pain, you get stabbed with needles and things.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. It's better just to show no pain and hope you don't get stabbed. I get it. Hey, you know who?
Dr. Ellen would like me to point out, geez, Glenn, he just said that weird on the air. And I just simply reminded him that I was Dr. Ellen. And by the way, they do choose the sex of embryos for IVF in humans. Why can't they do it with horses? She didn't mean.
Do I have to apologize a second time to the same person on the show?
Yes.
I'm sorry, Dr. Ellen.
For being a jerk.
Jerk.
Okay, here's the deal.
Okay, but anybody listens to the show knows I'm a jerk. So.
You are a jerk. So I would like for, as of now, going forward, you are not able to be whiny about your ribs anymore on the count of three. So do you want to whine for like 5 seconds before we get, I move on?
They are getting better, but boy, sneezing really hurts. It really, really hurts. So if I ever sneeze in the air, are the whining things out, because I'm going to be whining. I'm done.
No, you don't get to whine. This is it. So whine. Okay. I'm going to count to 10 in my head and you better whine. Ready? Go.
It really does hurt when I sneeze, and I can't quite sleep in the bed the whole night yet. And breathing's getting easier though, so that's good. It's breathing's good. Laughing is not so bad as it was last Friday when you tried to kill me.
Time. That's it.
And now, coming to us live from Horse Nation, our own Rockin' Elf, Smiley Wiley, with the Wacky World of Horses.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you, my dear?
Good morning. I'm great.
Do you see how mean she is to me, by the way? Just saying.
Somebody's got to keep you in line.
I say the things your wife wishes she could say.
No, she says them. Don't worry about that. We've been married. Hey, when you're married 30 years, she says them. There's no holding back.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well, hey, Leslie, first of all, thank you for joining us from horsenation.com. Glenn has picked out a couple stories that he wants us to talk about. And I feel like maybe there's a story that he didn't choose that we should talk about. And that is the Horse Nation Christmas Carol that Kristen Kovach wrote. And I thought maybe we could do it as a duet. I mean, we haven't rehearsed.
I love duet, especially as long as you're not trying to make me sing. What was it during our the radiothon to Travis Tritt? I don't know. Travis.
Who knows? We were all a little loopy at that point. I don't know what you were singing, to be honest.
But Christmas carols, I can do all day long.
Okay. So
obscure crunchy songs from the early 90s. Maybe not. Maybe might be too much of a deep dive, but
I don't even remember what I sang. Yeah. That hour was something else. So we will not sing it, Glenn, because first of all, we haven't rehearsed. Maybe if we rehearse a little bit.
Oh, no. You threw it out there. You have to sing it. Let's go. Chop, chop.
I think we can do this.
Okay.
So you just got to, just pretend you're drunk at the karaoke bar, and
do you want me to play a little Deck the Halls to get you so you get the tune in your head, or are you good?
Well, I think we're good. I think this one's ingrained in people's brains. Okay. Leslie, I'll let you start and I'll catch up so I'm on key.
All right.
La, 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 la.
Bed the stalls with bales of
too
shaving.
Too high.
Okay.
Bed the stalls with
bales of shaving. Too low. It's in the middle.
God, she's picky.
In the key of D flat.
In the key of G. Ready? Go. Bed the stalls with bales of shaving.
La 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 la. Even though your back is aching, fa la 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 la.
When you're done, the horses will poop.
Fa la la la
la la la la.
Just one more thing for you to scoop.
All right, for the next chorus. Yeah, for the next chorus, why don't we have Leslie, you do the main part, and Jamie, you do the fa-la-las, because with the sound system, we're not hearing anything. So, all right, so for round two, let's do it that way. Leslie, 3, 2, 1.
Try to feed a little faster.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Say your horses to their master.
Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Kicking, pawing, banging, snorting.
Fa la 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 la.
They don't care, it's Christmas morning.
Fa la 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 la.
One. Okay, one more.
One more.
All right. I'll do the verses, you do the fa's.
Okay.
Now the barn is nice and quiet.
Fa la 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 la.
Since you fed the equine riot.
Fa la 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 la.
But you're covered in poop and grain.
Fa la 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 la.
Mile Horse Nation feels your pain.
Fa la 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 la.
Yay! Well done. It's a hit.
That was good. Yeah. We could go door to door with that.
It seriously is an equine riot when you feed. I mean, there's just no way around it.
Yeah, that was awesome.
I noticed that's the part that caught you off guard was equine riot.
Like, I can't sing that with a straight face.
Happens in her house every day.
Good job, Kristen, writing that. Yeah, good job, Kristen. The other thing I thought was funny was the cringe-worthy gifts for the equestrian in your life that you wrote in 2013. Uh-huh. And it's still so appropriate. And I love how you phrased it, like the giant silver and gold belt buckle that you're like, gee, thanks. This is going to go great with my breeches.
Yeah. And usually has the wrong kind of horse on it, or it was for a show that is totally what you don't show.
Yeah. If my mama ever got me another dang t-shirt with a Tennessee walking horse on it, I swear to God, mom, not when the knees are that high, okay? Unless they're together.
I can't wear that out.
Yeah, I can't wear that. People are going to think I soar horses for crying out loud. another one that Tack purchased by the non-horsey gift giver. I love the saddle bags for the English rider, like the room for the horn.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. The peace signs all
over
them. You
could duct tape them.
Duct tape them to your saddle.
Yeah.
It's a perfect for your wrist to slip through. Maybe that's what it's for.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I've lost a lot of the pictures of it, but yeah, a pink pony blanket for your 16 one-hand gelding. And they got your, you know, like a 62.
Yeah.
Now this one I don't agree with. One of the cringeworthy gifts for the equestrian in your life was children's gifts for adults. And you wrote, because nothing says perfect Christmas gift better than clothing and accessories that you'll never pull off in public if you're over the age of 12 or you're me. And I will totally wear a horse beanie on my head. Like, yeah. No problem.
She wore it to the ball the other night she went to. She wore it to the modeling event she went to, their beanie.
Add a little height, Glenn. Yeah. Needed some height.
Yeah.
I do want to tell you that before we get to our last story, that Leslie and I have something. I think we're going to do it next week. That's pretty special and meaningful to us. And it's going to be straight from the heart and something I think that unfortunately people are going to relate to. So make sure you check out Leslie and I next week. You'll have a little more clue about it. If you read Horse Nation or Eventing Nation, we will talk a little bit more about it next week. Any comments on that, Leslie?
Yeah. It's, I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, come back next week.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the last thing, Glenn, tell us about the the ovation riding and
yeah, okay. So Jennifer is calling right now to get a guest on, Leslie, that we're going to have a guest from Cantor, California to talk about the fires and what's happening there. And you guys did an article. I noticed that Kristen did an article on December the 8th, which a couple days ago, about the, of course, the fire at San, at the racetrack, where 49 horses were killed and 400 of them were roaming around and they were doing evacuations and trying to do that. Well, there's all kinds of fundraisers being done. And by the way, the track, when you read a lot of the mainstream press, it makes it sound like the track were the only ones evacuating horses. And that's not true. Mm-hmm. There's a ton of farms out there that had to evacuate horses. And the problem was they didn't have a lot of time. You know, we talk about preparation and be prepared to how to get your horses out. And, you know, with the hurricane and things, you got a lot of warning. This happened in hours. I mean, it was hours.
One of these fires is burning an acre a second.
Yeah, it's wow. It's 220,000 acres right now. It's hundreds of thousands of acres. There's almost 1,000 homes that have been destroyed. And this isn't stopping. I mean, it's not, there's no indication that we're going to be stopping anytime soon. But I wanted to reference your article, and it's titled Standing Ovation by Ovation Riding, Help Horses Affected by Lilac Fire at the Racetrack. So, check that article out because it does have a lot of links, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that with our next guest, but it has a lot of links in there of all the different places that you can help horses. There was a fundraiser directly for the track, and I don't know if you know this, Leslie, but it is over $570,000 in 2 days.
Wow.
It's just an incredible amount of money. So, but there's a lot of local resources there. Kristen did this article. She did a lot of research to make this article happen. So go over to Horse Nation and you can see the link there. And then we're going to have our guest on next to talk in more detail about what's going on.
Yeah.
But so good job. And thanks for doing that too. On your
Yeah. Thanks, Kristen, for being on top of that for sure.
All right.
When you need some real information, Horse Nation is a place you can go. You know, I mean, they have lots of funny stuff too, but like that's kind of, you guys have become the epicenter for quick information on basically how to help people a lot of times. So thanks for doing that.
Oh yeah, for sure. No, Kristen's so fantastic at that. Just taking, you know, tracking down on all the info and putting it in one place so that people, you know, who are in need or horses in need can access it. So good on her.
Well, thank you guys for your duet today. And thank you, Leslie.
Yeah. We'll talk next week.
All right.
Have a great one. Bye.
Well, we do have our guest on the line. Her name is Jody. She is from Cantor, California, getting up a little bit early to talk to us this morning. And we really appreciate that, Jody. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Well, I wanted to kind of get a feel for you. We've talked a little bit about the fires and, you know, over the past week here, unfortunately. And of course, you know, the fire at the Downs and all of that. But there, I didn't want to lose sight that there's a lot of farms that are being evacuated and a lot of horses that are being displaced right now, right?
That's right. And this weekend, you know, even though Cantor was at a thoroughbred show and our interests are with the thoroughbred industry and the grooms, you know, we ended up, all of the donations that we gave to Gibson Ranch that was in Shadow Hills from the Creek Canyon fire. We're sending up items to the Thomas fire because I feel like the Santa Barbara, it's not over yet. And that I just read something this morning, they only had 4 volunteers at the Earl Warren's Fairgrounds. And, you know, anything that we can do to kind of keep an eye on where the need is the most, you know, we're sending it at whatever we can, be it volunteers, be it goods. But I was just listening to the caller before, or the person you were interviewing before, and you know, they're right. There's such a great need for a clearinghouse of correct information. And thank you guys for being a part of that.
Well, now, so we all have seen the pictures of the trailers lined up forever, right? All the trailers that are heading, people are heading in to harm's way to help get horses out. Where are all the horses going at this point? Is there a place where a lot of the horses that are displaced or the ones that were roaming free are being collected and taken to?
That's a big question. I know that all of the horses from the Lilac Fire in San Diego, specifically the San Luis Rey Downs, the Thoroughbreds, and the horses in that area were taken to Del Mar Fairgrounds, which is the racetrack, and they are set up. They have so many barns down there that they can fill. So they are there in the Los Angeles area for the Creek Canyon Fire. Their horses went everywhere. I mean, it was because LA doesn't have that one concentrated, we have 1,000 stalls available. Horses went to Hanson Dam Equestrian Center. They went to LAEC, the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. And I am in the Burbank Rancho area, and there are so many homes that have like one or two stalls. Individuals just opened up their homes, and trailers, haulers just took horses where they could. So there was one night where I felt like there were a lot of horses tucked into little kind of Airbnbs for evacuees here in Burbank. And then up in Santa Barbara, they're going to Ventura Fairgrounds and Earl Warren. But just because of the Thomas Fire is moving, I don't know where the Santa Barbara Fairgrounds, they might have to evacuate, but that's not my expertise. So I would encourage everyone to stay on top of the accurate information for that. I have a lot of friends and horses that I know up in the Santa Ynez area, and they're going north. So, but there's not a large facility up there for horses to evacuate to en masse.
And these fires are, I mean, who is coordinating it? So the people that want to help in California, this is the part I wondered about. How do they know where to go? I mean, is it just been word of mouth and phone calling and friends of friends and get your trailers up here? Or how's that work?
It's a little of all of the above. And I think that it obviously it starts with whatever county organization that you are in. I know here in LA County, we have an equine rescue team that is part of Los Angeles County Animal Control, and they are the ones that organize the official evacuation centers. They have trailer teams that they call up. They have them on a standby list. They are certified professionals that go in to do this. It is on a volunteer basis, but they are part of LA County. And I believe that Ventura has a similar organization. Social media has been incredible in this. There's also an app called Zillow that I know the Northern California fires used, and the people that were instrumental in kind of helping out with the Northern California fires earlier this year, they recommended to use this. It's a walkie-talkie. And they just send trailers, and it's kind of like a police scanner. But it really, I think probably social media has been kind of the greatest clearinghouse of information. Unfortunately, a little bit of misinformation.
Yeah, which always happens, right?
But it always happens, and you know, you just have to be. I think the best thing that I've learned and the best advice is who is actually on the ground, who is eyes on the ground, who has boots on the ground, who's a trusted resource in that neighborhood, who's your leader in that community, and see what they're saying and kind of attach yourself to them, to follow and to get correct information. And everything that I've heard from the people that had to evacuate, this fire is so unpredictable, and it seems to be on all of them, from San Diego up to Ventura to Santa Barbara County. It's just so fluid and chaotic, and even those that had a really good evacuation plan in place, it happened so quickly and so unpredictably that, you know, even with the best laid plans, things went awry. And, you know, I think everyone's just trying to do their best. And I'm amazed at the human kindness that has come out of this.
The winds were, I mean, that's the thing that's been the biggest problem, right? You guys have had 50-mile-an-hour winds for forever now, and the firefighters can't do anything to stop a fire with 50-mile-an-hour winds. It's just not happening.
It's been going on for a week now, because I think the Thomas fire started a week ago today. And you're correct. We have Santa Ana winds, which is somewhat typical for this time of year in December. It's a very warm wind that comes in, but you know, it's 80 degrees and it's almost Christmas. I mean, it's 80 degrees here. So it's an unusual, confluence of weather. It's been very dry. This is usually our rainy season. We just haven't had any rain. The heat and these winds are just unusually high. And because of the winds, they haven't been able to use the airdrops as much. Hmm. So it's been tricky. I've lived in California for almost 25 years, and this is the worst one I've seen, and it's just been tricky to fight.
Not to mention the smoke. I mean, the smoke must be just heavy, I mean, and hard to breathe in places. And I know that some of the rescue efforts were thwarted by, they just couldn't get through the roads. The roads are closed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So your farm might be right, but nobody can get to it. That's tough.
Yeah. And it's also, you know, it's the beauty of living in California, especially, you know, and between San Diego and Santa Barbara. I mean, our whole state's quite lovely, but you know, where the ranches are, we have beautiful vistas of the mountains, of the ocean, and you know, but is it a little difficult to get in there? Is it one road, one lane? Yeah. You know, it's a trade-off of the beauty of the state but you know, the chance that a disaster like this can hit, and it's hard. It's hard to reconcile it.
I did want to mention on Twitter Twitter's been a good resource for following too. Del Mar Fairgrounds, which you mentioned, just posted yesterday that they need eye hooks, bell boots, racing bits, ice boots, stud chains, pillow wraps, and standing wraps. And they also need lunch and food for 80 people per day for all three meals, which, you know, you forget that everybody that's helping out has to eat. And that's not always easy to get either. Then SanDiegoHorse.org has actually been pretty good about posting and reposting a lot of stuff. I don't know who they are, but I kind of follow them on Twitter. SanDiegoHorse.org has also been doing a good job out there. Plus, there's a ton of other places that are posting on Twitter. And it's a good place to go as well.
That was my first check this morning, was the Del Mar of what they needed, because I'm going down with another person from Los Angeles whose husband is a racehorse trainer, and we have a 33-foot truck that's filled with items. But I just wanted to know specifically what they needed down there.
All right. Well, very good. Well, we'll keep in touch, and good luck with everything out there. We're praying for you guys, and what a terrible situation it is. Our thoughts and prayers, and you know, not just with the horses, but everybody that's lost their homes too. I mean, you know, there are almost 1,000 homes lost and lives wrecked, you know, right before the holidays, and it's going to be tough to clean this one up for a while. So
it's heartbreaking and it's painful to even think about, much less be in the middle of. And thank you for what you're doing to help everybody. It's just this is when life gets put on hold, and this is what you become. This is what becomes your life.
Right.
It becomes your life, and this is just it's the normal for the next week. And you know, I just want the industry to come back, and to the people that are losing, you know, any jobs that they are taking care of, and you know, the horses are reunited with their owners, and just, you know, we're horse people are hardy. We'll get through this, and we'll come back, and we'll be stronger. And this is what we do. We weather this. So, but thank you for being a good source of information. Keep putting out there the Twitter feeds, the social media, specifically for the places where there are eyes and boots on the ground. those are the people that know exactly what is needed. And just thank you for putting the word out there. I really appreciate it. All of us appreciate it.
Thank you, Jody. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right.
Bye, guys.
I've just checked the GoFundMe that was set up for a thoroughbred care for the San Luis Rey Downs fire. And this wasn't just for the for the Downs, but it was also for everybody affected in that fire. And it's up to $572,000 in 2 days.
Oh, my gosh. Amazing.
2 days. So,
but it's like she said, you know, you don't even think about the people that have lost their farms and the employees that are there.
Yep.
You know, those people have no jobs now. The trickle-down effect of this is so monumental and devastating. It's just, it's so painful to even think about. So, yeah, do what you can.
I'm actually kind of surprised that there's been one, as of this morning when I looked, there was one life lost. I thought there would have been more than that, but that just shows people are listening on this one. You know, they're getting out when they're told, which is good. The other thing, I just had a question. You probably know the answer to this from one of our listeners asking about Flag Is Up Farm, about Monty Roberts Farm, and are they in danger at all?
Well, you know, I messaged Debbie over the weekend, and she says that everything is south of them, so they're okay right now. But you know, I just said, hey, I'll come on over and I'll pick up Shy Boy and Chrome.
Take him home.
I'd be happy to take Shy Boy, Chrome, Blackie, Buns. Like, I'll come get him. I ain't got a problem.
All of those so well broke, well trained horses up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll be happy to take him home.
Wouldn't that be funny? Just have be like, yeah, this is Shy Boy in my backyard. Yeah.
I'm riding Shy Boy down the street in Arizona.
But she says they're doing okay right now. So I just know that driving to her would not be possible with the fires. So
not, or it would take you forever at this point. Yeah, I think the help is going to have to come from locally. If let's hope it doesn't get up that far. Although I notice the fires are working their way out, obviously, and we're talking hundreds and hundreds of thousands of acres. It's just incredible. Let's hope for rain would be the best thing, and the winds drop off and pouring down rain comes in. That's what they really need out there right now. So say your prayers for that.
Have you seen the pictures of the fire from the International Space Station?
Yes. But the pictures that got me were the ones from the highways, where all the mountains around the highways were just on fire. And it was just, imagine driving to that and thinking that it's the end of the world, right? I mean,
Debbie sent me one, her drive. Her commute,
really? Was like, it the same way?
Yeah, the side of the road is just totally on fire.
I can't even imagine that. Have you ever driven by a fire that close to the road? I haven't.
I drove by a car fire.
Yeah.
And it was hot in my car.
I know. I can't even imagine. These people are driving to work and the whole mountain's burning. It's like, oh. Well, we're saying prayers for them and we're hoping the best for them. We will be back tomorrow. It is Endurance Day, I believe. So we'll be back on Endurance Day, and Jamie will be back here on Wednesday as usual. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Don't forget you can download our app, iOS or Android. You can find it in the App Store. I also put, over the weekend, in case you were getting bored, I put our latest episodes of Finding Florida on there for you to have a chuckle to on the Stable Scoop feed and the Horses in the Morning feed. And I've had a couple people asking about Stable Scoop. It will be back in its new form at the beginning of the year. We took a break here after Helena left and after we did the talent search and all that stuff, and are taking December off to get all of the new segments ready for the show. So that'll all be starting up again in January, and we're looking forward to having Stable Scoop back on the air. And that's the update from there. So thank you, everybody. We'll see you, Jamie.
All right, spay, neuter, geld.
La 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 la.
You're welcome for that.
She sings better than you, by the way. I'm just saying.
Well, it was too high. Lower that key. I can't do that.